Welcome, everyone, to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayetze. Wonderful to be back again and to be learning the Parsha, the Shira said, L'zecher Nishmas, Ula Ilay Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, your dear parents. May their neshamas have a lichtig Gan Eden, and Be'ezras Hashem, let us get tremendous chizuk from the Shir, and let it, Be'ezras Hashem, enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Once again, Parsha Insights, Tavshin Pei Hei, Parshas Vayetze. It's also sponsored this week by Eddie and Zelda Zemel. Thank you very, very much for the sponsorship, as you do each and every year, to commemorate your sister's yard site, the 20th yard site. Bela Bas Reb David, the yard site was the 29th of Cheshvan. So we're very grateful to you and to Eddie for your sponsorship. Constantly sponsoring words of Torah, Le'ilei Nishmasa, the 20th yard site. Be'ezras Hashem, your sister's Neshama Tahira, Bela Bas Reb David, Zohabin Alichta Gan Eden, and the Shir should be said and inspire people, and that should indeed be Lezecher Ule'ilei Nishmasa. In the beginning of the parasha, you find, of course, that when Yaakov Avinu, Vayifka b'mokoyim, he encountered a place and he spent the night in that place. The pasuk says, Vayikach me'avnei ha'mokoyim. There's a parasha that deals a lot with stones, but right away in the beginning of the parasha we have Vayikach me'avnei ha'mokoyim, that he took from the stones of the place. Very famously, we know that it says that Oli took many stones. It ended up that it was one stone because, of course, each part of the stone, each of the stones, I should say, wanted to be under the head of the tzaddik. And I'm just pointing out, of course, the very well-known Rashi that it says in the beginning plural and afterwards it says singular, Vayikach es ha'evan. Why? For each one wanted, Ula yaniach tzaddik es roishoy. I want the tzaddik, the head of the tzaddik should be under my stone. In other words, it should be under me. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Miyad Ason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Evan Achas. I just quoted from Rashi, all of the stones became one stone. Hence, it went from the plural to the singular. Vayikach me avnei, and it ended up as Vayikach Esa Evan. Just quickly, one has to wonder, with Rashi's pshat, it seems like the issue was that each of the individual stones wanted to be under the head of Yaakov Avinu. So apparently the stones were satisfied and pacified by becoming one large stone. It surrounded him, but it became one stone. But you still have to wonder, how did that help? In other words, if it was, let's say, one large stone that was surrounding the tzaddik, good, it became one stone, but only part of that one stone was going to be under the head of the tzaddik. The other part, or parts, I should say, of that one stone weren't going to be under the head of the tzaddik. So obviously the answer must be that once the stones were united, there was no longer the divisiveness or the fragmented number of stones. But once there was the unity of the one stone, yes, albeit that parts of that one stone weren't under the head, but there was the unity, there was the connection through the one stone. So even though only part was under the head of the tzaddik, all of the other part of that same stone still felt the same connection, because that's the koyach of achdus, that's the koyach of unity, that even if 80 or 95% of that one stone wasn't literally having the head of the tzaddik Yaakov Avinu rest upon it, but since there was the unity, we all felt part of the same unit, Mamela, even if we weren't a part of that stone, we were still totally satisfied. It's actually this pasuk that I just quote to you that is brought down in Arachayim, Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. If one wants to look it up inside, as I say, those are in the Heichal. It's great to see everybody, those who might be listening live now, and the many who Baruch Hashem join when the recording is sent out. If you hear these words and you want to look it up, you can look up in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, Simen Tov Kuf Nun Hei. In Siman Tov Kuf Nun Hey, there Shulchan Aruch brings down something regarding Tisha B'Av that we mentioned in the past, that we know many people have the minhag on the night of Tisha B'Av, they will be mutav ala aretz, which means they'll lie on the floor, and they'll put an evan tachas roish, they'll put a stone under their head. The Ramah writes, the reason one does this, why does the Shulchan Aruch bring this down, is yesh la'adam li'tzar be'inyan, a person should try to bring a little bit of pain upon themselves. This is the night of Tisha B'Av. And we, of course, know if a person is regular to sleep with two pillows, they should only sleep with one, etc. And then the Ramah continues, v'yesh b'nei adam me'simim evan tachas me'ershesayim. Some people, as I just quoted to you, have the custom that they put a stone under their head. And the Ramah continues to fulfill the pasuk we just read, v'yikach me'avnei hamoklim. What was under the head of the tzaddik? In heaven. And the Mefarshim say, and it's brought down based on a Gemara in Mayit Katan, the Ga'inim speak about it, that when Yaakov Avinu had his chaloim, the famous dream, she'ra'o b'chaloim ayas ha'churban, he saw the churban. And since he saw the churban, and of course the churban is a reference to Tisha B'Av being what happened as a result of the churban, therefore, vayikach me'avnei hamokli, one puts a stone under their head. That's the way, from the Mefarshim and from Rashi, we give the explanation why a person brings a stone under their head. Once again, because according to some in the Chaloim, what did Yaakov Avinu see? He saw the Chorban. The Chorban is, of course, represented by Tisha B'Av, and just like Yaakov Avinu in that Chaloim had an Evan under his head, similarly, what do we have under our head, Lel Tisha B'Av? In Evan. My father, Zatzal, in Sefer Imrei Mordechai, brings down a different reason we put the Evan under our head the night of Tisha B'Av. And I want to use his pshat as a springboard for tonight's shir. Such a powerful explanation. He says, perhaps there's another reason for the minhag, besides the one I just mentioned, of why an Evan is used under our head the night of Tisha B'Av. We're looking on this night of Tisha B'Av to be Ma'ir and to bring about the Geula. What caused the Golus? The Golus was because of Sinas Chinam, the byproduct being Lashon Hara, Pirud, dissension, disunity, fragmentation. We simply couldn't get along. Obviously, the antithesis of that is unity, achdus, ahavas chinam. My father Zatzal says so beautifully, how well does an evan, a stone, represent unity? He explains that if you think about it, an evan is really thousands, countless thousands, perhaps millions of different granules of sand. And they are all combined together. When heated, they end up becoming one stone. Mamelin Evan is the best representation of unity of Achdus. Before it was an Evan, what was the stone? Millions or certainly countless thousands of pieces, granules of separate pieces, separate pieces, separate pieces. And now it united to become one Evan. And that's what Klal Yisrael has to remember, specifically the night of Tisha B'Av, put an Evan under your head. My father says so beautifully, why an Evan? For an Evan represents the ultimate of unity, of Achdus, of cohesiveness, of millions of things that might have been divided and fragmented, becoming one. The Melech, an Evan on the night of Tisha B'Av that you put under your head to remind you, both literally and figuratively, get it into your head, the importance of Ahavas Yisroel and Ahavas Chinam to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And that's brought from this week's Parsha, Vayichach Me'avnei HaMokom. In fact, that could tie into the opening shot that we said. It ended up becoming one Evan. We asked the question, 99% of that one stone wasn't under the head of the Tzaddik. But once you become one, then all of a sudden, even the part of that one stone that's not under the head of the tzaddik is united with the part that it is and is certainly at peace, the entire stone. And therefore, he gives a second reason why the night of Tisha B'Av you put under your head, specifically in Evan, to remind you. In fact, we've said many times, Evan is spelled Aleph Beis Nun, which stands for the Hemshech HaDoyrus, the continuity of generations. Aleph Beis Nun stands for Av Ben Neched, father, son, and grandson. Or you could do it in Lashon Nekeva, Evan, Aim, Bas Nechda, mother, daughter, granddaughter. You have the continuity and the Hemshech of the generations in an Evan. So you see an Evan represents all cohesively becoming one. We've mentioned in the past, maybe that's why there's a custom when you go to the grave, to the kever of a parent or a Rebbe, whoever it might be, we have the custom to take an Evan and put it on the kever. Why an Evan? Because the greatest thing that we could tell our parent or a Rebbe or someone in our life who has passed away, we put an Evan on the kever to send that message. There's cohesiveness in the family. There's unity in the family, as represented with the Evan, Av Ben Neched, as represented with the Evan, Aim Bas Nechda, as represented with the Evan, the night of Tisha B'Av under the head, because an Evan is millions that were separate, all becoming one. Is that not the most beautiful message you could take by putting it on the kever of somebody who passed away to let them know that cohesiveness and that shalom is certainly well intact? And that's what we find in this week's parasha, Vayikach me avnei amokleim, and certainly as Rashi says, Vayikach as the Evan, it became one. For even a part of it wasn't under the head of the tzaddik, no one felt slighted, because once there's the unity, there's the understanding between that one larger part. We're all working for the greater good. Yaakov Avinu, we know this is based on a pshat from the Hilga Radomsky Rebbe. We've mentioned part of it in the past, but it ties in so beautifully to a parsha that literally is a parsha of Evan of stone. And later on in the parsha, when a matzeva has to be made, once again, it's with an Evan. We constantly see the Evan on top of the be'er resurfacing time and time again. We know that each one of the Avos established the tefillah, Avram, Shachris, Yitzchak, Mincha, and Yaakov, Meiriv. There's a beautiful pshat from the Radomsky Rebbe. The first part we've mentioned many times. The Pasuk in Kehelet says, Hashmi'ini es Kailech, ki Kailech Arev. Literally it means Hashem says, I'll listen to your voice, because your voice is Arev, from the word Vaharevna, very sweet voice. But the Radomsky Rebbe explains it in a different fashion. He tells us that the word ki kailech orev is not just from the word v'harev, not sweet, but orev is from the word kol yisrael arevim zebazeh. What does it mean, kol yisrael arevim zebazeh? We're all responsible one for another. You know, Abayi say we're responsible for each other. Look out for each other. Take care of each other. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. That shouldn't be rocket science. Says the Radomsky Rebbe, Hashmi'ini es Kailech. You want Hashem to listen to your tefillos? You want Hashem to listen to your supplicating voice? Ki Kailech Arev. Ki Kailech Arev means it has to be not only a sweet voice, but a voice of Arevus. A voice of responsibility, a voice of, we're there to step up and to guarantee one for another. If you can't have a voice of Arevus, if you can't have a voice where you feel responsible to a fellow Yid, but you think you live in your own bubble and cocoon, then there won't be a fulfillment of Hashmi'ini es Kailech. Hashmi'ini es Kailech, you want your tefillos and your voice to be listened to? There's a caveat, there's a condition, there's a tenai. Ki Kailech Arev. It has to be a voice that exudes arevus. Kol Yisrael arevim zebezeh. You care for each other. There's an Evan under your head, a voice of responsibility. If you have that type of voice, Then Hashmi'ini has Kayach Bezus Hashem, your tefillah is listened to. An extraordinary pshat from the Radomskir Rebbe. But then he adds something so magnificent. Which one of the three avos taught us, really, by example, to an extraordinary degree, this responsibility where everyone needs and must get along with each other? Of course, all three, but to the greatest degree, Yaakov Avinu. As we learn in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze, where the Shvatim are born, there were 12 Shvatim. We'll read in the upcoming Parshiyos that at points there was Sina and Kina, hatred and jealousy between the Shvatim. And yet at the end, of course, what was there? Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. There was the cohesiveness of the Evan. There was the cohesiveness of the Shvatim getting along in perfect unity. That means from the three Avos, the one that taught us this lesson of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet to the greatest degree was Yaakov Avinu. Says the Radomskir Rebbe so beautifully, what was the name of the tefillah that Avram established? Shachris. What was the name of the tefillah that Yitzchak established? Mincha. And what was the name of the tefillah that Yaakov Avinu established? And don't answer what I said 3 minutes ago. Don't do that. Ashkenaz, Sfarad, Hasidish, Litvish, I could care less what your Avara is. Don't answer me that the name of his tefillah was Meiriv. The name of the tefillah that Yaakov established was Arvis. Arvis. From the word, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Yaakov Avinu stelled avek and established in the fabric of society that one has to daven every day the tefillah of Arvis from the word Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, responsibility one to another. And as we said already, who taught that best? Yaakov Avinu, for the Shvatim went from Sina and Kina to Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. When we've said this pshat in the past, I've mentioned people daven Shachris, and people daven Mincha, and people daven Meiriv. You must not let a day go past without davening Tfilas Arvis. Chalila, that you should ever let a day of your life pass without davening Tfilas Arvis. Rabbi, I can't say it strongly enough. In fact, when it comes to the Tfilah of Meiriv, it's brought down whether the nighttime prayer of Meiriv for women is something they have to daven. Is it only Rishus? Optional? Dare I say, that debate of whether it's optional or not is about Tfilas Meiriv, but not about Tfilas Arvis. Tfilas Arvis is a choiv. That's obligatory. There's Shachris, there's Mincha, there's Meiriv, and then there's the obligation every day of your life to daven Tfilas Arvis. The Tfilah of Yaakov Avinu, the Tfilah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazet, the Tfilah of the Evem, of the stone, of the Av Ben Necher, of the Eim Bas Nechta. It's the Tfilah of taking many stones and ending up having one stone. And as I said already twice, when there's one stone, even the parts that aren't under the head of the tzaddik, through the unity, are totally satisfied. Every day of our life, there's an obligation to daven that tefillah of Arvis. Hashmi'ini es koylech, we want be'ezras Hashem, our tefillahs to be heard, ki koylech orev, that it has to be a tefillah of not only sweet and melodious, but one of tefillahs Arvis, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh. And that's the reason that you find throughout Parshas Vayetze, in the beginning we speak about Avonim, in the middle we speak about Avonim, at the end we speak about Avonim. What's with the Parsha beginning, middle, and end, again and again and again and again? We keep speaking about Avonim. Because this is the Parsha where the Shvatim are born. It's establishing the framework and the very basic foundation for Knesset Yisrael and Kol Yisrael. And the most important foundation for the Shvatim to be built on, and by extension us to be built on, is the foundation of Evan. You want to tell me that steel is stronger and other metals might be stronger? I disagree. Because according to the way we're explaining Evan, the strongest foundation that something can be built on, the strongest foundation in the Parsha, that's the Shvatim Parsha, our Parsha, is the Parsha and the foundation of Evan. Because if you have that unity and cohesiveness, the night of Tisha B'Av, you could end up rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. There's an extraordinary pshat brought down from the Pardes Yosef. It's one of my favorite pshatim. Please share over this pshat. The Pardes Yosef bases it on the Arizal. I assume, or I would hope you're familiar with what I'm about to tell you from the Arizal. The Arizal brings down the importance of a person taking upon themselves before every tefillah that they daven, the mitzvah saseh of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. I'm not sure if you are familiar with that. If you see in front of me, I have here a whole potpourri. I deliberately brought out many different sidurim, whether it's in Hebrew, English. Here I have it written in English. Before each tefillah, a person should accept upon himself to fulfill the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Think about loving a fellow Jew as he loved himself. Then his tefillah will be joined with the tefillahs of all of Klal Yisrael and will be'ezras Hashem be accepted favorably before Hashem. Take a look at the Kisser Shulchan Aruch, Yud Beis Beis. And this is what the Arizal tells us. In fact, the Lashon is, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah sasei shal v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha. I'm taking upon myself the v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, the mitzvah sasei. It's a different tefillah. Because it's not like I and you, it's we. And when there's the power of the Evan, when there's the power of the cohesive tefillah, it's a different tefillah, it's a different tefillah. Don't start the tefillah without first being mekabel upon yourself, the mitzvah saseh of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Love someone else, think about it as much as you love yourself. That which I told you from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I quoted Arizal, I would hope is quite well known. The Sefer Pardes Yosef brings down such a beautiful proof. If you mamish want a pshat to tie the whole shir together, the importance of the 12 stones becoming one, the importance of the Evan under your head, the night of Tisha B'Av, the understanding of Evan standing for Av Ben Necha, the three generations, and why we put it specifically on a kaver, the message we want to send to a deceased parent, the idea that we have with the Evan throughout the entire Parsha being the foundation of Klal Yisrael, the idea of Yaakov Avinu establishing Tfilas Arvis, Hashmi'ini Es Koylech, could all be brought together with this beautiful pshat from the Pardes Yosef. From what we just said from the Arizal and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the importance of taking upon yourself, without it, how's your tefillah going to be listened to? Me and you, and there's a wall between us, and you think your tefillah will be listened to? If you take a look in the upcoming parshiyos, we find the pasuk says, "Ma betza kinara gesachinu." If Yosef is killed, the pasuk says, "Ma betza." What gain will there be, kinara gesachinu, if we kill our brother? Meaning, at the point that they were thinking to go ahead and kill Yosef, what will we gain by killing Yosef? And there, though, the decision was made not to kill him, but rather to put him in a pit. And ultimately, he was sold to Mitzrayim, and the rest of the story we're familiar with. Listen to the words of the pasuk once again. Ma betza kinara gesachinu. What will be gained if we kill our brother? Says the Pardes Yosef based on the Arizal. What did I just tell you? Don't start davening without first taking upon yourself. Don't do that. How do you spell the word betza? Betza is spelled Beis Tzadi Ayin. What does Beis Tzadi Ayin stand for? You fasten your seatbelts for such a pshat. What does Beis Tzadi Ayin stand for? Boiker, Tzoharayim, Erev. Morning, afternoon, evening. Which is another way of saying Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. Ma Betza! What will our Boiker Tzoharayim Erev, a reference to Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv,
Ma betza, what will we gain? What will our tefillos be worth?
Ki nara gesachinu. If all we do is kill each other, if we can't get along, if verbally we kill each other, if we can't stand each other, and there's divisiveness and dissension amongst us, ma betza, what are our tefillos worth? What a pshat from the Pardes Yosef.
Ma betza once again stands for Boiker Tzarayim Erev, which is of course a reference to Shachar Mincha Ma'ariv. Ma betza, what are your three daily tefillos going to be worth?
Ki nara gesachinu, if we kill each other, we can't stand each other, we can't get along with each other. Ma betza, what will the tefillos be worth? The Mele, we have it brought down in Kitzel Shulchan Aruch, the Arizal tells us, before you start every tefillah, take upon yourself the mitzvah aseh ve'aplarecha kamaicha. Take upon yourself to behave like an Evan. When you take upon yourself the mitzvah aplarecha kamaicha to behave like an Evan, then your tefillahs now have shavi, if they now have a beautiful, beautiful worth to them. And the Ezra Hashem, it's not my tefillah that's being answered and your tefillah is being answered. It's our tefillah as the Evan, united, cohesively, that's being answered. I want to share with you now, literally, to bring the whole shir together before we conclude. Once again, I'd like to end the way I started. In Sefer Imrei Mordechai, my father's Hatzal, and of course I just got that from Eretz Yisrael, it was his 27th yard site, so I'm happy to share Divrei Torah from his Sefer, having just had his yard site on the 27th of Cheshvan. He brings down, and I think it's such a beautiful way to end the shir, such a magnificent pshat. Like I was staring at this chiddush and thinking, it's a chiddush that's the tapestry and combination of lomdus, depth, together with such a stunning brilliance in its observation and profundity of thinking of the following order in tefillah. And I'm so proud to share this with you to conclude the shir. Do you know that when we daven shachris in the morning, there are two times we say that very small paragraph, Yiratzu mefanecha Hashem elokeinu ve'elokei aviseinu, sheyibone beis hamikdash b'meirav yomeinu, v'sein chalkeinu b'sarasecha, you know that that short paragraph is said twice in your shachris. I hope you know that. I don't know if I want to put anybody on the spot and ask you, so when do you say Yehidatzen Sheyabana Beis HaMikdash? Well, the really easy one is when I finish my Nasrei. The minute I finish my Nasrei, I say, Oysa Shalom B'mraimav, I end with the words Yehiratzu Sheyabana Beis HaMikdash. I imagine everybody got that one. And the other one should be fairly simple as well. When Shachris is starting, we say Karbonis. And after Karbonis, we say, before the Kaddish Derabbanon, Yehiratzu Sheyabana Beis HaMikdash. The same paragraph twice. Listen to this profound and brilliant and stunning and lomdish observation from Avi Meiri Zatzal.
If you think about it, Rabbi Yisai, that paragraph which says, may it be your will Hashem, sheyabana beis hamigdash from Herav Yameinu, rebuild the beis hamigdash, in both places, it seems to be out of place. Let's start with the first one first. Karbonos. Reuven, you following? Karbonos. Karbonos is Ezel Mekayim Shal Zochim. We speak about all of the karbonos, the perik and zvokin, the karbonos, the oila, the chatos, all of the karbonos.
Rabbi Yisai, if you're saying Yirasa Sheibana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is all about karbonos. Why don't you say that short paragraph, Sheibana Beis HaMikdash, right after karbonos? I think earlier I said that you do, but that wasn't true. You first interrupt it with what?
What do you have after karbonos before the Yirasaim? Rabbi Yishmael and his brice of Shloish Esrei Midas.
Why are you interrupting Karbonos and Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which essentially are one and the same, with the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel and the Yud Gimel Midas? It's a great question. I'll first answer the question, and then it will make the second one and its placement in Shemoneh Esrei even more obvious. We want to know, why don't we say Yehiratzon Sheyabana Beis HaMikdash right after Karbonais? That Brisa Rabbi Shmuel Leiber B'Shloish Esrei Midos HaTorah Rejeshel Bahen. What's the 13th one? What's the 13th one? What's the 13th one? Shnei chesuvim hamachishim zeh zeh ad sheyavo ekosel ashlishi v'yachriya b'neihem. What does that mean? You have two psukim that contradict each other until a third one comes and makes shalom between them. If you want to merit the Yiratzon Sheyabana Beis HaMikdash, if you want to merit to see all of those karbanos that you speak about in Zvachim, first you have to realize, Shnei Chesuvim HaMachishim Zeh Zeh, sometimes you have two people, two psukim, two ideals, that they don't agree, they contradict each other. Ad Sheyavo Yashlishi Ve'achriya Beineihem. Now someone comes along and makes shalom. Now you have peace. Now you're ready to say, Yehi Rosh Hashanah Bona Beis HaMikdash V'Hein Rav Yomeinu. When you have the Evan, when you have the shalom, when you have the arvos, now you're ready to say, repeat after me, Yehi Rosh Hashanah Bona Beis HaMikdash V'Hein Rav Yomeinu. It seems to flow beautifully from Karbonos. Not so. You first need that Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, because what's the last one? Sometimes you have the two people, the two things that might contradict each other. When you have someone or something coming along, and he resolves that, make shalom. Now you have shalom. Now say the words. And now we could do the one with Shemoneh Esrei as well. Really, where does that Yehi Ratzon belong? Not at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Where does it really belong? After the Brach of Ritzei, right before Moedim. Because what's the Brach of Ritzei? You know, Ritzei, after Shema Kalena, before Moedim, Ritzei, V'hoshev es Havayda, Nedvir Beisecha, Usekaba B'Ratzon. That small paragraph of Ritzei is all about the Beis HaMikdash. Really, where does the Yehi Ratzon belong? Not at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, but it really belongs where? Right after Ritzei, before Moedim. But once again, my father says, following the pattern, that's not where you say it. You say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Because what precedes it immediately? Sim Shalom, the Brach of Shalom, Aleinu Ka'amcha Beis Yisrael, Oysa Shalom Nimraim, Avuyasa Shalom Aleinu. Now you're talking about Shalom, 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 Shalom. Now you're ready to say, Yehiratzon Sheyabana Beis HaMikdash. It's a lomdisha, profound, stunning observation from Avi Meir Zatzal. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. In both occasions, it would seem on the surface to make far more sense for it to be placed elsewhere. The morning one right after Karbonos, and the Shemoneh Esrei one right after Ritzei. But it doesn't work there. In both of them, you must first have shalom. And only when you have shalom could you then say, Yehidatzel Mefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Aviseinu, Sheyibona Beis HaMikdash V'Hein Rav Yomeinu, V'Sein Chalkeinu B'Soirasecha V'Shamravotcha B'Yira, Kimei Oilam Uchshanim Kadmonias. It's in the morning one after Ad Sheyava HaKosav HaShlish V'Yachriya B'Neihem, and in the Shemoneh Esrei after all of the mention of Sim Shalom and Oysa Shalom B'Mraimam. Then you could ask for the Beis HaMikdash. Now you know, Rabbi Yisai, the rest of the story, why it is where it is. You should share that pshat with as many people as humanly possible. That's how good it is. May we be zoicha from this heilige parsha vayetze, a parsha that's with the avonim throughout the parsha, to remember the lessons of the achdus and the arevus and the unity and what an evan represents. Let that evan bring about the shalom. Let that shalom bring about sheyabana beis hamigdash, so that we'll be zoicha to see bimheira, evan upon evan upon evan upon evan, that will be used to rebuild the third and everlasting beis hamigdash. Bimheira b'yameinu, amen.